Good morning.
Morning.
I'm going to say you all have made an excellent choice to come here today to worship God, not just because I'm preaching. Obviously, that's not the point. But it's you're here to worship God and worship our Creator and King, which is always the best decision you can always make. You know, I wasn't here in the adult class, but Dan said something that made me wonder. You said marriage, is that kind of what you all talked about?
The relationship with Christ is similar to marriage.
Yeah. Well, you said you might have to worry if Joe's going to teach on something similar. Well, this is kind of in that same field, so y'all, maybe there's somebody here who needs to hear that. I forget this. There's bulletins going around. If you want one, raise your hand. You can get one. Take notes. But have you all heard of the game show Let's Make a Deal? It's a pretty popular game show. It's been around since 1963. So, I mean, it's fairly old, and it's entertained many people across countries and time. We're going to take an idea from this game show, and we're gonna play our own version of this game. So to set the stage for our study, we're gonna make a deal called the Better Deal. So let's make a deal. My first offer for you is I will give each of you $100,000 for your car right now. I don't think anybody's gonna turn down this offer, right? You know. Maybe Andy, I don't know. He's got a pretty nice car. He might turn that one down. But I'll give you $100,000 right here on the spot. This is just a game. Don't take it serious. I don't actually have this kind of money. But right now, you leave your cars, you take the money, and it's yours to do whatever you want. Sounds pretty good. It's a pretty good deal, right? I mean, for most of us, I know for me especially, what's my car's worth $1,000, if that. $100,000 sounds great. I think we would all accept this right now. But before you take this deal, I have another deal to make with you. My second offer is I will give each of you $1 billion for your cars. But there are some things you have to do. Number one, you must give me back the $100,000 I just gave you. You must wait 1 week to receive the money. You must leave your car where it's parked and leave it there for an entire week. And you must be back here next Sunday to receive the money. Everybody okay with that deal? Would you make that deal? $1 billion? I think everybody would make that deal. That's a really good deal. Compared to the first offer, it sounds even greater. I mean, $1 billion. I think everyone would be willing to change $100,000 for $1 billion. Not even these conditions. Yeah, wait 1 week, leave your car, be back here next week. I mean, you'd have to get back home. You know, walking. Some of y'all, it's a pretty far drive. You have to get along all week without your car. And you have to get back here next Sunday, no matter what. Because if you don't make it when, you know, it starts 10:30, you don't get the money. But I don't think anybody will let this stop them from getting the $1 billion. So for the sake of illustration, let's assume everybody accepted this second offer. Who wouldn't want $10,000, $100,000 for the cars? But the offer wasn't as exciting when compared to the second offer. $1 billion is worth a lot more. I didn't really do the math. I probably should have found out the percentage. You know, it's probably like 0.1%, $100,000 to a billion. I don't know. Somebody who's a lot smarter than me can do that. But even if you have to wait 1 week, even if you have the inconvenience of having no car for a week, you're willing to accept the second offer by turning down the first offer. You are trading an offer of immediate gain, $100,000, for a much larger offer of a future gain, $1 billion. The first offer requires practically no effort or sacrifice, but you trade that first offer of immediate gain for another offer that requires much sacrifice. So with this illustration in mind, let's begin making the application to our lives. So there's two deals that in real life. Number one is the adversary's deal. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at verses 15 through 17. 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So in this world, the adversary's deal, it's immediate. It has three areas where you get, you know, immediate pleasure and rewards, which is the lust of the flesh, immorality, lust of the eyes, materialism, and pride of life, self-glorification. This requires virtually no effort or self-discipline or sacrifice on your part. And his reasoning is basically, if it feels good, do it. If it looks good, take it, and if it sounds good, go for it, right? That's the immediate offer, and it sounds, if we're being honest, it sounds fairly good when you first hear it. The Bible refers to this deal as the passing pleasures of sin. Turn over to Hebrews. We were just there a second ago. I thank Dad for reading that verse. Hebrews 11. Look, starting in verse 24. Hebrews 11:24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin, or your translation may say, the passing pleasures of sin. This is the $100,000 offer. It's easy. It's appealing. It's immediate. I don't think anybody, if they just heard this offer, would turn it down. But before you accept this offer, let's look at the second offer. God, I even put the button things on here and I still forget. There's the write down. That's the adversary's deal. Let's look at the second deal. God's deal. He offers future pleasures and rewards. One in particular is an eternity of bliss. And this far exceeds the passing pleasures and rewards of this life. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Keep this in mind and turn over one book to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These are just some. Obviously, you know, in Ephesians, we see that every blessing, but this one in particular in Philippians is peace. There's all kinds of things that you get by choosing God's deal, but it requires much effort and sacrifice on your part, such as faithful service. Turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, look at verse 34. Matthew 22, verse 34, we've all probably heard this passage before. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. There is faithful service involved in choosing this deal. I mean, it says here, all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. I don't know if you understand what that means. That literally means all of you and nothing is left. Faithful service is required if you choose this deal. We also see that we have to resist temptation if we choose this deal. Turn back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, this is the example of Jesus resisting temptation. You might be like, hold on, you can't use Jesus to compare to us. You know, he's perfect. We're just humans. Well, here's some news. Jesus was a human too. He had temptation. Matthew chapter 4, look starting in verse 3. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Jesus here is showing us an example of what choosing God over the adversary's deal looks like. I mean, there we see everything. We got the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life that the devil is offering Jesus right there. Yet he's turning down all of them to serve God. He is resisting temptation. We can also see that we have to endure persecution. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look starting in verse 12. 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it. Lost my spot. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We will be persecuted for our faith. I think I talked about this a little bit in my last sermon. We talked about how, as a Christian, we are going to have to do some things. Step outside of our comfort zone. Hear people talk to us, you know, and not nice ways, let's put it like that. They'll say not nice things against us just because we believe in God. But we have to endure this because it comes with this deal that we make. This is the $1 billion deal. It has greater rewards, but it's harder to get. And the Bible refers to this deal as eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So now we've laid out both of these deals. We've got the adversary's deal, and we've got God's deal. One of them, immediate pleasures, immediate stuff. Another one is future. But we have to decide which is going to be. So why do so many people accept the adversary's offer over God's? Well, for the same reason that anybody would keep the $100,000 compared to the $1 billion. Number one, they fail to appreciate the difference in its value. They just see it as numbers and they don't care. And number two, this failure to appreciate the difference, it's especially true in real life. You know, the adversary's deal, oh, that's right here and now. Who knows what the future is going to hold? They focus on the present. And the promises of the adversary only last a lifetime. And honestly, they may not even last that. The promises of God last for eternity. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. I always got to make sure I'm not missing a click. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. First Timothy 4:8 says, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come." And turn back to Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, look at verse 28. Mark 10:28. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Eternal life is invaluable. When I was first doing this sermon, it was actually, I put $1 million and then I was like, wow, I'm comparing eternal life to $1 million. So I put $1 billion because that's more common nowadays because, you know, millionaires are now billionaires. But eternal life, you can't put a price on that. It is invaluable. Yet many people literally will sell their souls to accept the deal the adversary offers. They accept this immediate gratification. Moses understood the difference and made the right choice. Let's go back to Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, let's start in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. So what was Moses' choice? I mean, we just read it. But it was to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now, Moses knew what he was giving up. He literally left everything. I don't know if y'all ever really truly thought about what he left behind, but he was a prince of Egypt. I mean, he knew what pleasure was. He could have anything he wanted. He could do anything with anyone, anywhere he wanted it, whenever he wanted to do it. He was basically the top. He had anything he could ever want. And he had more than any one of us could ever dream of. But what was his reason for the choice? He left this all behind. I mean, he probably had one of the best lives back in that time. But he left this all behind, and the reason was he looked to the reward. He looked to the future. He evaluated the two deals, the deal that the adversary made and the deal of God, and he made the right choice. So I'm going to ask you this. What deal have you made? You have to pick one. Are you accepting the deal that's made by the adversary, who offers the path of least resistance, the immediate pleasures of this life? If you refuse to obey the gospel, you have chosen the lesser deal. You may even, as a Christian, choose the lesser deal over your original choice. Originally, you have gladly accepted the second deal of $1 billion, and no matter how hard it was, you would get that $1 billion. But when it comes to your spiritual life, you give up. You may have chosen eternal life in the beginning, but as life gets hard, you turn back and you take the easier deal. But do not consider the promise of eternal life meaningless. There is more than meets the eye. I'm sorry, I just thought of that old dorky Transformers show. That was the thing. There's more than meets the eye when you see this deal. Maybe you don't make the right effort to be at services on Sunday and Wednesday nights. You possibly allow many things to hinder you to your service and God and your brethren. Will you give up your eternal life for temporary pleasure? This is for you to judge in your own lives. This is not my place. I'm going to ask you, do you have a higher value on $1 billion than the gift of eternal life? Would you do everything in the world to get that $1 billion for your car, but not do anything for your own soul? If you're willing to sacrifice your car and time for something as tangible as $1 billion, but not for your soul, then you should reconsider the path you're on in your life. Don't waste your souls for the passing pleasures of this world. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look, starting in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and God. Have you accepted this offer that the adversary has made over God's offer? My purpose here with this sermon has not to make you feel guilty of what you have done, but to remind yourselves that each day we are making a choice. We are choosing either to serve the adversary or serve God. I hope to have illustrated the foolishness of letting immediate joy and pleasure keep us from a much greater future reward, because those things are just temporary. So I'm going to ask you this. Let's us, all of us, make a deal right now. May we, like Moses, learn to esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of the world, and to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God, even if that means things like assembling more often, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin and selfishness. Let's make a deal to keep looking to the reward that God has prepared for us, his children. Because only through Jesus can we gain help to keep our priorities straight and receive the best deal that one can make. That deal is the one where God sent his son to earth to die for us. The truth is, you'll have to sacrifice something for either deal. For deal number one, you're going to pay with your life. You may get immediate things right here and right now, immediate joy, but in the end, you sacrifice your own soul for something that's temporary. Or deal number two, you can go ahead and give up your life right now. You can surrender your life to the King and Creator who will take your life, pay the price that you have done for sin, and He will pay your debt and set you free. Freedom for all eternity. The choice is yours. You have the opportunity right now to put to death the old man or woman of sin. I like this one. I think Dad's is a little bit more complex. But we can imitate Jesus in dying, being buried in baptism, being immersed, and rising to walk a brand new life. If you would like to do this, if you would like to choose to make the better deal, it only takes a step or a couple, just right here to the water. The choice is yours. You can choose to follow Jesus and become set free right now as we stand and sing.